Welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Dream Master.
The Dream Master?
Yeah.
Is that like Nightmare on Elm Street 5?
Yeah. Our last horror episode.
Yeah.
A couple episodes ago. Yeah.
It's, Dream Warriors is three.
This is our last horror episode for the Halloween.
You two need to stop burping because I'm keep smelling.
I didn't burp at all.
That's Mark. Yeah.
No.
Totally.
I don't know that.
Maybe it's the fourth party we have in the room.
Are you seeing things?
Maybe. Maybe I'm like, you know, Haley Joel Osment in the movie that we were just watched.
We didn't watch many Haley. Shut the fuck up. And we're starting off really good today.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, any
secondhand
further.
Secondhand Lions, huh?
Another,
yeah, secondhand Lions.
I want to give another final thank you again to Daniel at Misfit Toys for having us last week.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies for some of the audio issues on that episode.
His audio came out great.
Yeah.
He
couldn't hear you very well long.
I heard myself
all right.
I don't know.
It's all right. It wasn't quite our standards.
No, you're right.
But it was a good episode. Yeah. We had fun recording over there. Talking to Daniel, some favorite scary horror movie moments and things like that. It was a fun time. It's always a fun show there. We may even squeeze one more in before the end of the year. And Misfit Toys. Maybe a Christmas episode or something.
He brought one in there.
Yeah, he did. He was like, when do y'all want to come back?
Yeah.
I guess he enjoys having us. We're swell guys.
I also told him next time I come back, I've got a From Dusk Till Dawn poster, like an art poster someone drew up.
Dude, he has a...
And he wants it.
He has one of the original movie posters to the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Really?
He has a lot of classic.
He loves horror movies.
Yeah.
I asked him if he'd be game for it. I ascribed it to him. I was like, right in the middle, it's got the shotgun with the baseball bat as the cross. And it's got Tarantino on one side and George Clooney on the other. Yeah. He's like, I would totally be game for that.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, do you have the Universal Monsters collection?
Not the whole collection. I've got a few of them. I've got, like, The Mummy and Dracula. And I've got Creature on digital.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. But I've only got a couple of them on Blu-ray. Mm. I've kind of slowly pieced them together if I find good deals on them, you know, because they're kind of expensive.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little pricey.
Yeah, I saw the Blu-ray set, and I'm like, I was tempted
to buy.
They're
usually around 60.
I've got Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
That's not the same.
It's better.
Are you talking?
It's based off of the actual
story. Are you talking about the book?
Story. Yeah.
No, the book's based on the movie, right?
Well, the one where they go to Geneva.
Better? How dare you blast?
It's better. Mary Shelley came up with Frankenstein. Lord Byron came up with Dracula. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein
is the best. Bram Stoker came up with Dracula.
Bram Stoker. Lord Byron came up with Wolfman?
No.
Who was it?
No one remembers what monster he comes up with.
Because it was a contest.
They always call it Lord Byron's monster.
Yeah.
But they don't remember what it was.
That's right.
You know, but you're close.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the ballpark. But yeah, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Frankenstein was
the doctor. Sure, but I don't think the film is better than the original Universal.
You've got Robert De Niro in there, man. So? You want to dish De Niro?
So, De Niro makes bad movies.
Does he, though?
Yes.
Meet the Fockers was awesome. Cape Fear? Yeah.
De Niro makes bad movies.
Yeah.
That was a Scorsese movie, too.
I know. That's when Scorsese was maybe...
Was it mainly because of studio interference?
It could have been, but, you know. But even Scorsese in his prime during the Goodfellas years made, like, Bringing Out the Dead. That wasn't very good. So, he even the great directors make some bad films.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've seen King of Comedy.
Oh, yeah, King of Comedy? Yeah.
That was all right.
A Scorsese film, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis was in it.
And we're...
Jerry Lewis.
We're about a month away from the next Scorsese film.
Yeah, Netflix. I'm really looking
November
forward to that.
November 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been anticipating that movie for at least 5 years.
Yeah. That looks really good. The trailers are great for it.
I heard Joe Pesci turned it into one of the best performances, too. You know?
Yeah. So, it's a short week since we recorded. How was y'all's week? It's good.
It was good. I think all of us were doing the same thing.
I'm on vacation.
Watching the Astros.
I'm on vacation next week. Yes, the
watching
Astros.
Watching porn.
We recorded Saturday. We recorded Saturday at Misfit Toys and went home to watch a quite dramatic victory in the ninth inning to send us to the World Series.
Yes.
I was screaming and jumping around the house, and apparently I don't remember that because Michael, my son, told me, Dad, you were jumping everywhere. I thought you were going to hurt yourself. I was like, what? I remember screaming we were going to the World Series, but I didn't realize that I must have jumped 10 feet into the air.
That's awesome.
When it went out, too, they hit the game-winning home run.
How drunk were you? You tried to drive my car, and it's a Fisher-Price vehicle.
Yeah, as we speak, they lost the first two games.
Now they're down two in the World Series. By the time people get this episode Monday morning, the World Series could be over.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. I hope they extend it a little bit longer.
I hope this one travel day gives them that kind of a rest, any kind of rest.
And, and the team meeting, closed doors team meeting they had yesterday, hopefully Justin Verlander lit a fire under their asses to
go after the game.
Yeah, it was players only after the game last night. They said only Verlander and Altuve spoke. No one else said anything. Those two guys said everything they needed to say, and apparently they got on the flight and were very happy and pumped up, so maybe they woke a sleeping giant. So we'll see how it goes.
I liked Bregman. Seriously. You know, Bregman slept with his bat. He needs to sleep with his bat again. He did all right by my account.
Did you think it was just the exhaustion was a big factor
for the Astros? I'm not sure.
Astros?
But, I mean, if you really look at them, they haven't hit well in the last month. Everyone thinks it's just the playoffs. Even the month of September, their offense was a little bit lacking, so...
Sometimes people get hot in the regular season and they get cold in the postseason.
Yeah, and the Nationals just are hot in the playoffs right now, and you just got to slow it down somehow, find a way to win.
Look at the Ravens that one year they won. They weren't great, but they got hot at the right time, and it carried through.
They need to be more steady, Eddie, in the regular season.
So we'll see how it goes by the time people hear this episode Monday. Hopefully we're still somewhere.
Yeah, they've definitely got the capacity.
Still watching a World Series anyway. Mm-hmm. That's games 3, 4, and 5 this weekend. So, yeah. But they're not a bad week, I guess. I'm still excited they're in the World Series regardless. Oh,
that's right. I watched Hatchet. That's what I watched.
Haven't gotten to download this yet.
I thought we were tired. Okay, I'm going to hold off.
No.
Yeah.
Drunk-ass motherfucker.
I'm not drunk. I'm buzzed.
Obviously, if you very didn't know what part buzzed. Of the show we were on.
You know, we're talking about stuff. I'm just talking about stuff, you know?
So, since Matt's jumping the gun, a la former host Frank used to jump the gun all the time. That's why he got fired for the show. Well, not the only reason.
No, that's not the only reason.
He didn't really get fired.
Yeah, I like it.
Having 15 seconds where you're pausing in between your sentences.
And say, you know, 10 times, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get into download this since Matt's ready to tell us what he watched.
I'll start
that's
off.
Right.
Streamed, checked out this week. Long, what off. Did you watch this week?
Oh, you're going to be proud of me. I actually sat down and watched The Expanse. The first season, I finished watching that on Sunday, and I'm right now towards the middle of the second season, and it's pretty good.
I've heard it's good.
Very good.
I've seen the pilot. That's about as far as I've ever got in it. But yeah.
Yeah. You know, Thomas Jane is in it.
Oh, really?
Right.
I love Thomas Jane.
But I have to say though, the way The Expanse is structured, there's two stories going on at the same time, or three.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first story is really about the crew that survived an attack, and they're trying to, travel the solar system and stuff. And then the other story was Thomas Jane's character, who's a detective,
mm-hmm.
right? Not very interesting, unfortunately.
Damn.
Yeah, but it does tie to the main storyline. And it does get better when they both finally meet, the two storylines finally converge. But the second season, Thomas Jane's character is a little bit more interesting this season around, so, and I'm glad the whole noir part of it, the detective part of it's not in this one,
because
he was, spoilers, he was fired in the first season, so,
ouch.
But anyways, if you're a Thomas Jane fan, Matt,
yes.
you like it, so, you might enjoy it more than I did, but overall, still an excellent story,
If you check it out.
Very realistic, science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
They have, it's hundreds of years into the future, and then there's people who are born outside in the asteroid belts, to mine stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are on Earth and Mars, and then it's kind of funny, they brought a person who was born in, the outer belts. They brought him down to Earth, and he was suffering because he was not used to the gravity. So they had to put him in a water tank in order for him to...
That's weird.
Yeah, because he's so used to low gravity, and to him, he's being weighed down. And they're usually tall and skinny people, that are born in outer space.
Weird.
Yeah, So, very, 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 very cool world. And a bunch of anime. So
nice.
And I'm on vacation. Woo!
Boom.
Got one more day of work, then I'm on vacation.
Oh, nice.
I did watch a few things. Southbound was on Prime. Oh, no, it was on Netflix. Southbound is on Netflix.
Southbound and Down?
No, no. Southbound. It's a small budget horror film. And it's very creepy. Mm-hmm. It's very weird and odd. And, man, I didn't watch all of it. I watched most of it, and I got pretty tired. I wasn't able to finish it. But if you are able to watch it, I was watching it again for like probably the fifth time. It's a newer horror film, and it does depend on a slow burn, like and just being a psychological kind of thriller, and just odd things going on in the horror world. It's different stories that are somehow joined together. So it's pretty interesting. I didn't get to choose a movie one night, and the wife wanted to see something that was more along the lines of a thriller, so we watched An Eye for an Eye, which has Sally Fields and Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah. It's the younger Sutherland.
How old is this
movie? This is an older movie. This is like 90s. Sally Field was still something to look at. That's how I knew it was old. Oh. So this was like early 90s for sure. Basically, Kiefer Sutherland's a delivery man, rapes her daughter, and she stalks him down, starts messing around with his life.
Sounds and like a Hallmark movie.
It does. And that's what I told her. I was like, this is like a Hallmark movie.
There were a lot of really bad movies like that made in the 90s.
Yeah, she makes him, like, you know, basically attack her or try to attack her, but she's ready with a gun. She basically shoots the hell out of him. And then Fred Dyer, you know, who you know, you're familiar with, Mark, wanted me to talk about Hatchet. And so I had never seen Hatchet. And so Hatchet is the guy portraying Hatchet is actually the man who played Jason for like 10 years. He played Jason in Friday the 13th, Volume 2, 3, 4, 5, Jason X, and Freddy vs. Jason. He plays a couple parts in there. Robert Englund is in there. Candyman's in there. And it's like a throwback to old school horror, really. And you can find Hatchet on Amazon Prime.
Kind of like a... What was it? What was that movie? That movie with Stallone and all the other action heroes.
Expendables.
Yeah, like that's Expendables, but for horror.
Yeah, but for horror, you do have three classic horror icons in there.
Yeah,
and
I heard it's pretty good,
dude. The trailer for that movie is creepy as hell. It's got a little girl talking.
Yeah,
and she's like, Victor Crowley, he was hit in the head by a hatchet, and it's like it tells his story and. Oh man, it's creepy. But whenever you watch it, it's very cliche horror. It's very watchable still. Worth at least one watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's about it. About those three films.
Yeah, you gotta watch more than me. I did watch. I mentioned pre-show. I actually finally sat down and watched. Vudu does a lot. Vudu will do a lot of sales, so we'll tie in whatever's coming out recently. Like right now, they have a Halloween sale, but. When King of the Monsters came out a few weeks ago, they had a Godzilla sale online. I had grabbed when they did a Godzilla sale when the movie came out in May, I bought Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, the 2002 one. And then they just ran a sale again, so I picked up the sequel, Godzilla Tokyo SOS. And I watched it, and I actually, this one had some really great action sequences in it, actually. Mm-hmm. Story-wise, it's probably not as good as the Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. This one's really weird, where these two fairies appear and tell them, don't you rebuild Mechagodzilla? They don't listen, and they do it anyway. And the fairies reappear just out of nowhere. So it's some really weird shit in it.
That's funny.
But the action sequences are really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really impressed for the 2003, because, you know, these films are still made with lower budgets and the special effects they have to make over there. But it's actually really well-done films.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed watching it. The Godzilla... looks very similar to even the Godzilla we're getting now. It seems like they've stayed with that design for a while now. Long you're more familiar than me, but that more spikier, kind of tougher looking version of Godzilla.
Yeah,
and I like it. Other than that, I've only watched one more episode of that Raising Dion. I started watching last week, and because I've been watching too much baseball.
Yeah,
and Raising Dion's pretty interesting so far. The third episode had a little twist in it that I did not see coming, which was like, wow, this could get interesting. It still feels kind of networkish for a Netflix show, but it's good enough that I keep watching it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, it's intriguing enough. But I think that's about all I really watched this week. Yeah. I mean, we just recorded Saturday and I'm recording Thursday, so it's kind of hard.
Short week. Yeah.
So that's okay. There's some stuff coming out on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital soon that I like. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is out, and
early access. Yeah,
The Lion King. Even though I didn't really have a huge interest in seeing Lion King, I told myself I'd at least watch it on video just to see it. So, some stuff here in the next few weeks. Hopefully, I'll catch and watch some things, get caught up. But we all three do have Star Wars tickets.
That's right. So thank you, Long.
I'll be going to see that on December 19th.
Man.
And we'll talk about the trailer later on.
Heck yeah, 6 o'clock XD.
That's right. I got that day off, too.
We got the big trailer news, so we'll talk about that here later in the news.
I'll call in sick if I have to.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I'll just shift.
So I don't care.
No, I'll just shift my work an hour early.
But, nice.
So let's talk about today's feature movie. Our final film in Halloween Horrors Month is October is coming to an end. You guys are getting this episode Monday morning, so we're a few days away from Halloween. Everyone will go trick-or-treating and wear costumes and be safe out there, of course, and take care of your kids. And my kids are going as Wyatt's going to be a Ghostbuster and Waverly's going to be Slimer.
Nice.
And when I told Wyatt she was going to be Slimer, he said, all right, I get to trap my sister. Wonderful. That's what he said. And then Michael is going to be Goku because he had to be the oddball. I wanted them all to match, but he didn't want to do it.
Of course.
So, you know, so it should be fun.
What's your little girl dressed up as?
She's going to be Slimer.
Oh, okay. So Slimer.
Yeah, it's really cute.
That's funny.
And I took him to a pumpkin patch over at Carbach the other day, and she's walking through her little Slimer costume and got a lot of adoring looks from people, so it was pretty cute.
Did you get any free beers out of it?
Well,
man. Hey, there you go.
I'll take free pumpkins.
Yeah. Consolation prize.
Yeah, I don't have to go spend $7 on a couple pumpkins to carve. But so my point being is mentioning the kids and their costumes is because we're doing a kid flick. We did one last year. We ended our Halloween Horrors Month with The Nightmare Before Christmas, and we wanted to keep that tradition and do a fun horror movie after all the violence of the last few weeks.
Cause yeah.
We did watch some pretty intensely violent movies. good movies, but
yeah.
Intensely violent. So let's do something fun. We're doing from a studio that's come around the last 10 years and made some really remarkable films. That's Leica Studios, and so we chose to do their movie Paranorman. Talk a little bit about Leica first. This is a studio that kind of they came out from Universal. Some mm-hmm. guy, and they branched off from them and got them to distribute their films, and they kind of started in just an office building making their movies. And they did Coraline, and mm-hmm. they did Kubo and the Two Strings, the Box Trolls, and some really, really good stuff so far. Highly reviewed by critics and fans alike. The Box Trolls is probably their least successful movie. It's a little bizarre, a little weird.
Yeah.
But everything else they've done has been honestly really good. You know, and we mentioned doing Coraline, and we could have done it, but I like this movie a little bit better. I think their best movie is Kubo and the Two Strings, but I think this one's really good too.
Yeah, Kubo was amazing.
Yeah, it's an absolutely amazing film. Have you seen Kubo yet, Matt?
I have not.
It was on Netflix. It may still be there.
That's probably the only film from the studio that I do not own. I own Coraline, I own Paranorman, and I own the Box Trolls.
Yeah.
I got it as a box set for $14.99.
Yeah,
nice. It was steel.
Nice. And,
the first time anybody want to summarize Paranorman before we say when we first saw it?
I saw this, I just was watching this 10 years ago, it felt like.
Yeah.
Is it a 10-year-old?
No, it's almost? Like 2012.
2012?
Yeah.
I think they started production in 2010, and I believe the film hit theaters in 2012.
Ages ago. 6 years old.
Then. I just remember it's been a while for me. I maybe saw it 5 years ago.
Yeah, 2012.
And then I got a refresh on it this past time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, what the premise of the movie is, a little kid named Norman who has this special ability to see spirits.
Yeah.
And
talk to him.
Yeah, and talk to him, and people look at him weird. And then all of a sudden, was it on Halloween? All the zombies started coming out of the graves.
Mm-hmm.
On the anniversary.
Because that witch's curse.
The witch's curse.
Yeah.
What's the name of the town?
Ooh.
It's got a weird name.
Yeah, it's a very weird name.
Yeah.
Which
cursed the town while she was being burned at the stake?
No.
Blith Hollow Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's a weird name for
it.
But in the end, it's kind of a mystery why the town was cursed, and we come to find out that the 300 years ago, the Puritanical
council of the town,
basically hung the little girl who had the same ability that Norman had, and the movie ends at a hopeful note where she lets go of the despair, and the witch Agatha basically just lets go of her hate of the town and rests in peace finally. So
yeah, first time I saw this was just a random rental. I think we decided to rent it and say, it's from that same studio, make Coraline, and really enjoying it quite a bit. I actually purchased this not that long ago. I think probably last Christmas. I think I found it in a $5 bin.
Okay.
And I think I picked up as a stocking stuffer for one of the kids.
Yeah.
That's probably the first time I saw it. And I really, really enjoy the movie. What was the first time you saw it, Matt?
It was like 5 years ago.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
It's a 7-year-old movie. And, it's quite a dark movie in a lot of ways for
the way Agatha was.
Yeah. But it's also very much a coming of age movie about Norman and his friendship with Neil, because Neil's the only person that's like his right hand man.
Yeah.
And you get to see that they be kids in this. Here's Norman dealing with this horrible gift, so to speak, that he has, but yet he finds time to be silly with Neil and to be kids. So there's part coming of age and part really dark fairy tale like story.
Yeah.
So really violent stuff.
He's a Haley Joel Osment except with friends.
It's kinda.
Kinda, sorta.
Are you saying that Haley Joel Osment doesn't have friends?
And not in The Sixth Sense. Everyone thought it was weird.
Oh, I thought you meant in real life. He doesn't have any real friends.
Well, not really.
Why not?
Didn't he die? Didn't Homelander kill him or something?
What are you talking about? In real life, or are you talking about in the movie?
Am I?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Me neither.
What are you talking about?
But anywho, Haley Joel Osment is the person that I see. It's a rambler. It's a rambler. No, Haley Joel Osment bears a lot of similarities from his Sixth Sense character to Paranorman, or to Norman.
You completely said that backwards.
You seen that movie?
No fucking beer, man.
I didn't say it backwards.
You ever seen that movie?
You said Haley Joel Osment compares to Paranorman. This movie came out after the Sixth Sense.
It's like.
You ever seen that comic book movie, Dick Tracy?
Yes.
Haley Joel Osment, grown up now.
Yeah.
He looks like Babyface. Babyface is that gangster with a small face, but with a big old head.
Yeah. Right. They all had big heads, flat top.
Or prune face.
I had those toys. I should have saved them, but I was so rough with my toys. I was sitting on a gold mine. Go to Misfit Toys and be like Steve Carell from 40-Year-Old Virgin if I wanted to. If I kept them.
Yeah.
So, back to Paranorman.
Back to Paranorman and not Steve Carell.
So, this movie is...
I'm waiting on you.
This movie is stop-motion animation, which is, I think, this is the first movie that used 3D printers to print a lot of the faces.
Yeah.
To create the... would you call them puppets, or to create the... the props and stuff to use to create the characters?
Basically puppets.
And a lot went into this, because there's a fake movie at the beginning that they actually filmed in stop-motion animation and then had to purposely make it look like a bad movie. And they said that was a challenge in itself, because it's like you're making a movie within the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they started on this. This movie took almost 3 years to completely make, because everything's stop-motion animation. Leica Studios has taken some flack over the years from the stop-motion community, because they do use some green screen for their backgrounds and stuff to fill things in. But...
come on.
You kind of have to nowadays. If you want to make a movie that looks as pretty as Kubo and the Two Strings
and
does,
economic.
Or as dark and haunting as this movie looks, you can't do all that by hand, I think, economically, too, because stop-motion animation is still one of the most expensive kind of things to make.
And Leica's independent, too. Mm-hmm. They don't have a big studio backing them.
No, they don't.
For me, I think the movie... was a joy to watch throughout, and then it just planted some seeds.
Because there was a lot of adult humor in here, actually.
Yeah, when you're watching the animation, it looks... it's just an eye candy, because you don't see that style of animation anymore. And you just think about, wow, how did they get the effect of the ghost effect on some of the characters in stop motion?
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Yeah, I was watching that, thinking that too. Like, how did they do this? And they say they don't use a lot any CGI except in the backgrounds. But how did they make that? I'm assuming. I just don't buy that. There's no way they didn't do that without some sort of paint over it or something. Yeah. You know, there had to be. Mm-hmm. Especially whenever his uncle has this heart attack and the ghost comes out and he grabs it and says, not yet, and he falls over and dies a second time.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of dark and humorous in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Its movie kind of has a really twisted sense of humor to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and my favorite scene is still the conclusion, you know, mm-hmm. them getting to the background of how Agatha became where she, why she cursed the town and the spirit effects of Agatha as a very angry spirit, and I was just amazed by that. and it's just such a very heartfelt ending too. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of the best movie endings I've seen in any movie, regardless of style. Yeah. So.
And then it's got a lot of callbacks to some classic horror stuff, like you know, I'm not a huge fan of the film Halloween, as y'all know, but our mm-hmm. friend Winter, she is. And, like, the Halloween callback in this is hilarious. His ringtone is the Halloween theme song.
Yeah.
And then it rings, and Neil goes, Norman! And he's down there below him with the Jason mask on, which is straight out of Halloween, where Michael Myers is standing down below at the end of the film. And I thought that was really funny.
That is funny.
And they also did a thing where they sent out 49 packages to a lot of horror icons like Neil Gaiman and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it said the package consisted of a wooden crate with Blith Hollow full of grave dirt. The recipients had to dig through it, and inside the coffin is one of the 7 cursed zombies, complete background information and name. So kind of a viral thing they sent out to like 49 industry members, and so I thought that was kind of cool. The time of the film. I imagine Neil Gaiman, Jenny DeBlogis Lawson, whoever that was. I guess she's a famous horror blogger.
Maybe.
That's the only names that show listed that they sent to. I guess other people didn't reveal that they got them.
Yeah.
So they did some marketing for this film, and that style I thought was kind of cool. The zombies were not 3D printed, though. They actually used animatronics for those so that they could make them move, like, you know, to give that stop-motion dead look or something, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was wondering how they did that, because they move differently than everyone else in the film. You know, the zombies and the creatures do. So I thought that was kind of a neat thing they did there. And, Travis Knight, who went on to direct Kubo and the Two Strings and the live-action Bumblebee, did produce this movie and almost directed it, but he ended up just being a producer, and the guy who wrote the story came in to direct this film. Because, again, like the studio is a small studio, they all kind of work together. And a lot of these guys who did these films are now moving on to making big studio films, like Travis Knight did Bumblebee.
Okay.
And I think the guys who did this film are working on some stuff, too. Even though Leica Studios is apparently working on another film, you know, right now. And we'll see what happens. I'm just talking.
You're just talking? I'm just talking.
What were you, man?
I was surprised that this movie did not get a PG-13 rating in some aspects. I mean, they're just, like, well, I said, there's a lot of adult jokes in here. And,
well, especially, like, his sister and the jock, and, like, it alludes to, like, what she's doing with him.
Yeah.
And the fact that her grandma just tells her, like, it's not nice to have pictures of boys that are underwear in your drawer.
Yeah.
Like, what? And I'm like, and then Neil... Is it Neil who's watching the yoga video?
I think so.
Or, are you pausing your sister's yoga video again? I was like, wow, this is pretty adult jokes for kids in there. You know?
But, you know, it is kind of scary, too. So maybe they got away with the PG-13, with the PG rating.
Well, and animation always allows you to get away with more stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because you can play it off as a over-the-head-of-the-children joke that only the adults would get. And there's no direct... You don't see any of it. It's just verbal jokes, you know, that kids aren't always going to get, you know. So I think that's why animation allows to maybe get away with a few more things that you wouldn't in a live action. If you make a live action version of Paranorman, it's PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
The zombies are going to be more grotesque. It's going to be darker. It's going to be scarier. You know, the kids probably aren't going to be as funny. They're going to make it more like The Sixth Sense. Like, wow, you talk to dead people? This is serious shit, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, though, I think, though, that you know, this is a really, really good film. I think it fits in with the theme of Halloween, and I think it's a good horror movie for kids to watch. If you're introducing kids to scary films and stuff, you would probably want to introduce them to animation first. You know, like something like this or Monster House.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of other. You know, if you were to do live action horror, maybe the Addams Family movies, and you know, of course, the animated one is in theaters now. No, I don't want to go on a quick rant about that.
What rant?
There's a movie group. And this guy, okay, he apparently went to take his kids to see the Addams Family, and I guess he put out a viral video where he's ranting about how he walked out of the theater because, you know, this is the work of the devil and they're real religious, and you know, there's a Ouija board and the kid's climbing the wall. Well, first off, dumb fuck, it's the Addams Family. You should have known what you were going to see, okay? Yeah. And I'm not knocking anybody's religious beliefs. That is what it is.
But, yeah.
But you're going to see the Addams Family. You should know what you're getting into. I mean, it's about a family of kind of monsters. So, and then it's an animated film on top of that. If you can't take your kids to see an animated film and explain to them the difference in real life and religious beliefs, so I'm sorry, you're just an idiot from the moment you walked in that theater to go see that. And it's been all over the movie group that we're in on Facebook and stuff. And,
yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, okay, it's just the Addams Family. You know, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was animated at first. It's like, you know, my wife was like, oh, you know, because we're going to go see the Joker. And she's like, oh, the Addams Family's playing. I'm like, there's an Addams Family movie? And so I looked it up. Sure enough, it's animated. But, yeah, man, I think we should stop, you know, trying to not offend everybody. And we should just offend everybody. If everyone's offended, it's all equal, right? Like, Arlie Ernie, here you are all equally worthless. We just got to make fun of everybody. And everyone's included.
Yeah. As far as score, I'd definitely give Paranorman an A.
Yeah. I think it's deserving of an A, at least an A minus.
Yeah.
Minimum.
For craftsmanship, the story, you know.
Looked really good.
Yeah.
I give it a solid A, too. I mean, there's been nothing from Leica Studios that I haven't liked at least a little bit. I think the Box Trolls only liked at least because it's a... I think it's more British. I think it was supposed to be.
Very British.
Yeah. So it just doesn't quite fit in with their other films as much as the other films fit together. Yeah, I knew what I was trying to say there. But
Kubo is definitely their...
Kubo is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, their top two.
I mean, Kubo is not just their top film. It might be... It's one of the best anime films I've seen in the last several years.
It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good movie.
Maybe because there's an Asian... the Japanese mythology tied to it too,
and it's got Matthew McConaughey doing a voice in it.
Yeah, all right.
This one has McLovin playing the bully, and the boy from Let Me In is Paranorman.
That's swell.
Yeah. But if we did Coraline, we would have had Dakota Fanning and Terry Hatcher.
That's swell.
Swell. That's swell. Swell.
Swell. Swell is the word of the day.
That's great.
Today's episode.
Yeah.
Here's a cookie.
That's swell. Wow. Swell. I don't know how to react to that. You have confused me long. I'm confused.
I don't know how to react to those factoids.
So, are we doing spooky stories first or news first?
Let's do news.
Let's do some news. There's not a whole lot of news. We're gonna
not a goddamn thing happened.
I'm tired of old directors complaining about fucking Marvel films.
God,
now, it's Francis Ford Coppola saying Marvel films are destroying cinema, and I get your point, Long, where you said like, well, it's cost him not to get financing for the films and stuff. But dude, when was the last Scorsese? Okay, he's had hits. When was the last time Coppola had a fucking hit in theaters?
It's been at least he's semi-retired from filmmaking.
I mean, I know he made The Godfather and all that.
Yeah,
but. Dude, just shut up, man. You know, just stay home, be quiet.
Eat your cannoli.
Let people go see the films they want to see, you know. Fuck them. Even Spielberg talked shit a couple years ago saying that combat movies are going to go the way of the Western. You know, whatever, dude. You know, maybe eventually, but I don't see it anytime soon. Not the way Marvel Studios has got things planned for the next 10 years, you know. So
Disney.
Yeah.
No, it's just a drop in the bucket, you know.
Yeah, Disney. I'm a Disney shill.
A shill. Oh yeah.
According to a co-worker?
According to a young man at work, he listens to the show, so he's going to hear this. But I don't care, Austin. I'll even call him out because he's cool. Austin knows I'm cool, dude. I've been watching Star Wars movies, reading Marvel comics since you were sperm in your dad's testicles. Shut up. That's all I have to say.
That's right.
You know, let me like what I like.
Austin's a Trekkie. That's why
he might be. Well. His favorite movie is A Clockwork Orange.
I don't even like. I don't even like the modern stuff from Star Trek on TV.
No.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just feels like it's made by committee for me. You know, doesn't have that heart that the Next Generation or Deep Space Nine or even Voyager has.
Yeah.
You know what? It's lacking something.
On November 12th, Disney's going to have my fucking money when I download Disney Plus on my PlayStation 4 and watch The Mandalorian. So I don't care.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, you and me both.
So the only other news we have, we got a Bloodshot trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this movie has been in development since Valiant Comics was popular in the 90s.
Wait a minute, what comics?
Valiant
Comics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I've heard the new Valiant stuff is really good. I've heard it's really well written. But they've been
trying... Exo-Man-O-War.
They've been making this Bloodshot movie. I would imagine John Travolta, Nicolas Cage. It seems like every fucking actor in Hollywood has been associated with this film going back to the late 90s.
Yeah.
It finally got made under Vin Diesel, and I watched the trailer, and I just thought it didn't look very good. I just thought, it's cookie cutter. It's Vin Diesel's trying to get his own comic book franchise because he only got to do the voice of Groot, and it's just like, oh, whatever, dude. I just look at him, and I can't help but see Dominic Toretto.
Jackie loves Vin Diesel. And I sent her the trailer, and she's like, oh, that's my man. That's my man. So I guess that's the crowd that's going to be showing up at the movies. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have the same crowd as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's right. You know, if he put on some baby oil like, you know, Dwayne did, maybe so.
Yeah.
But we got a more important trailer this week, though.
That's right.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We finally got the trailer, the final trailer for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. And, you know... people on their YouTube channels and stuff, they'll do reaction videos and they'll say,
those are low effort.
They'll say, I got chills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never really bought into that. For the first time, I saw this trailer, and like whenever 3PO says his line and the music kicks in, I got chills. I honestly did. I was like, wow, this, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't take exactly a page from the Russo brothers by not showing us anything, but they didn't show us a lot. They showed a lot of just images. But really, there's no story in this trailer, and I think that's a good thing. Because I want to walk in that theater on December 19th and be as fresh as can be to see the final chapter in the Skywalker saga. What are your thoughts on the trailer?
I'm pumped. I feel like it didn't reveal a whole lot like we wanted. And, you know, I'm just excited to get into the theaters and see this thing finally.
I mean... yeah, Last Jedi, haters be damned. That was a great film.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a large vocal minority on the internet that trashed that film. But it still made 700,000 domestically, or $700 million. It was still a huge hit worldwide, regardless what these vocal minority...
except China.
Except China.
What did you think about the trailer, Long?
I liked it. Okay. I liked it. I'm very intrigued. I'm looking forward to the lightsaber battles. And I like how, and I kept it to just, I only watched it twice, you know, but that's it.
I can't say I only watched it twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't, I don't want to dissect it, you know, I don't want to spoil it. I want to go in there fresh.
That's fair.
And I'm crossing my fingers that when we go see it, that they'll show the trailer to the new Wonder Woman movie. So, I'm looking forward to that too.
She's bringing the trailer to Chicago Comic Con next weekend.
Oh, really?
So it must be coming soon.
Oh.
Yeah. I read that just before we record. I guess I should have wrote it down. But, yeah, man, a lot of great imagery in this trailer. You know what I noticed that, maybe I'm reading too much into it from the trailer, though.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a J.J. Abrams film. It looked like a mix of him and Rian Johnson's film.
Hmm.
I kind of felt like it brought the two previous sequels together in the look of this trailer.
Yeah. Are you like cinematography wise?
The way it was shot? Just the way it was shot and imagery. Yeah.
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, Last Jedi might have its story flaws, but it's beautifully shot.
Movie. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. It's probably the best looking Star Wars film.
And we got a new Force power. What Force Astro Projection.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you know in the Star Wars Rebels, they really pushed it, the Force powers, where people can go between dimensions with the Force.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Wasn't that right?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it has to be like certain gateways.
Okay.
You have to be a Force user to use them. Yeah.
But Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, about 2 months away. I can't wait.
Yes, sir.
But that's all the news I got. Not much going on this week.
Not much going on. I can't think of anything else going on. Nothing.
as we're ending Halloween Horrors Month, we've been doing spooky stories to tell on a podcast this month. We did not do one last week at Misfit Toys simply because the show was running a little bit long.
We did kind of, a little snippets.
A little snippets.
But we had to we had to shut off the lights so that Daniel could close the store, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So we had to cut our spooky story short. So we're bringing it to you today.
Yeah.
With spooky stories to tell on a podcast.
I got three.
Go right. for it.
Three One, spooky stories.
The first story is kind of a local story where there's a Cinemark theater in Houston where it was, I guess, some bad... When the theater was being built, it had a very bad construction accident on there.
Ooh.
So someone died constructing that Cineplex. And apparently, if at night, if you're like one of the last cleaning crews, I keep looking over at you, man. You keep like closing your eyes and...
Just resting on me, dude.
Fucking liquor, man.
I don't get drunk, I get tired.
It's like your eyes are rolling in the back of your head trying to stay awake. It's like, I'm sorry, man, if I'm boring you.
No.
No, apparently. So if you're like one of the last cleaning crews of a certain theater...
Yeah.
They'll see stuff like a silhouette on the screen, mm-hmm. like of a man. Or if you're cleaning, like you'll feel... popcorn or trash being thrown at you in random times.
Interesting.
And then you'll see sometimes like a shadow walking back and forward in the projector room at times. The theater employees there are afraid to work in that theater at night. But I believe it's in the Woodlands. The Cinemark in the Woodlands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yourself, don't go there, sir.
Yeah. So that's a little fun little local story that I could share. But these last two stories involve the Disney World, again, as I promised.
Fucking Mickey Mouse cult and shit.
This one actually involves, both of these last two stories involve the ride It's a Small World After All.
Nice.
And are you too familiar with that ride? Have you two gone to Disney?
Only from Family Guy.
Yeah. So it's a ride that that celebrates, you know, different cultures around the world. And there's a one song that keeps looping. It's a world of laughter, a world of cheer. It's a world of hope and a world with no fears. You can laugh, you can play, you can stay. It's a small world after all. You know, that song loops over and over. And then you see all these little animatronic dolls from different parts of the world and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's hundreds of animatronic dolls that represent each country as you go around this, you know, water ride, you know. So, very quaint. So, I'm going to read this in first person. So, here's the first story about it. I wrote... let's see. Okay. I rode Small World for the last time in the 90s. I will never step foot on that ride again.
Ooh.
Even when I have taken my kids to Disney, I absolutely refuse to get on that ride. I still sometimes have nightmares about what I saw in there, and I was not the only one. I went on a school trip at the end of the year. It was night when we went on it. We had already been on every ride at least twice, and someone in our group has been begging to ride it since earlier in the day. So we finally agreed. It was close to closing time and our last ride for the night, so I think we were the only people riding, or if there were others, there were only a couple of them. We had about six people in our group. I will never be able to forget this as long as I live. We were about halfway through. I don't remember which country we were in as far as that section, or really anything about my surroundings. I was so freaked out, I couldn't focus on anything else. My friend had started tugging violently on my arm, so I took over. So I look over to her. She was in tears, and her, you know, mouth was wide open, and she was trying to speak, but can't get anything out. And she is just forcefully pointing down in the water under us. Just the expression on her face and the way she was acting was enough to terrify me. And I really didn't want to look down, but I had to know what had scared her so badly. I forced my gaze away from her and slowly leaned over the side. There was only a few inches in between the boat and the wall, but it was enough. The water under us was full of countless disembodied faces, all of them frozen in pain, full of terror, their mouths open in silent screams. I started screaming at the top of my lungs, scaring the shit out of everyone. They started turning around, or reaching forward to try to calm me down, but I just kept saying something like, "They are under us. Oh my God, there are so many of them in the water. They are trapped in the water." So, of course, everyone immediately starts leaning over and trying to look into the water, but there was nothing there. Just the murky water and the rails that the boats ride on. My friend and I were inconsolable. As soon as we started to get off the ride, the person that was at the controls came running up to us asking if we were okay. My friend and I tried to tell them what we saw through our tears, and as soon as I said something about the faces in the water, her expression froze and all the other color drained from her face. The way she responded said it all. She managed to quickly collect herself and try to reassure us, telling us that it was just reflections from the dolls' faces, but we knew better. Our friends guided us back to the park entrance where we waited for everyone else. They wanted us to tell the chaperones, but we refused. We knew no one would believe us, so we just left and didn't speak of it again. I have stayed friends throughout the years with the other girl that saw what I saw, and she has never returned to Disney, and probably never will, and I don't blame her at all. We have tried to talk about what we saw a couple of times, but within a few minutes, we both start to get upset to continue. All I can think of is what caused all those poor souls to be trapped like that. Where did they come from? Why are they stuck there? And why are they screaming and terrified in what is supposed to be the happiest place on Earth? So, that's the first story.
Creepy.
And then the final story...
Fuck, man, I don't want to go to Disney ever again.
And the final story, it again, involves with the same ride. So,
definitely not that fucking ride.
Nah.
Yeah.
Small World.
So I rode the Small World for the last time in the 90s. Wait, let me... Is this a repeat? Let me make sure this is not a repeat. Yeah, that seems to be a repeat. But I do remember the story. It's a security guard... And it was his final night in Disney, and he wanted to ride. It's a Small World after all, since he rode all the other rides.
Yeah.
And so he started on the ride, and as the ride went along, the song kept looping, and he was going through the Dutch area, or the Holland area, and all the dolls were dancing in sync, except for one doll. One doll kept messing up. It was a little Danish girl with the sable shoes, the wooden shoes. And the doll was creepy to him because it kept staring at him, but it was dancing off rhythm versus the other dolls. But he ignored it. It was probably just a glitchy animatronic.
Yeah.
So as he went through the next country, which was Russia, he saw the same doll again in a different spot with the same weird quirk. And with the wooden shoes and off rhythm, not going along with it. And then he tried to ignore it. It's probably just his imagination. And then he goes through the next country, and that doll, the same off-sync weird doll, Dutch doll, was, wow. He swears, following him and dancing along in its own rhythm and staring at him as his boat goes past the country. And then... finally, that towards the end of the ride, he didn't see that doll again. Yeah, so that's my
scary
final
story about a doll.
Yeah,
I'll never go on that ride.
Yeah. So there we go. I hope we finished on top there with the.
That's pretty good.
Freaky ghost stories.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it started with a cult at Disney.
Yeah.
And it went to this.
This is Small World.
It's a small
I didn't
world,
dig
though.
Up any haunted mansion stuff, but yeah. Eh.
I always liked that part of the video game, playing through the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently they spread ashes there. Like, people bring their relatives' ashes to be put in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ride, yeah, the Haunted Mansion ride does kind of have kind of a following.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say cult following, but kind of an important place at Disney for people. That's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
The cult of Disney.
Yeah.
Disney shills. That. It's gonna fall asleep to the fucking show today, man.
I'm not as bad as I was that one time. That one time I actually fell asleep for like a few minutes, I think, on the show, remember?
I don't admit that.
And you're like,
keep talking,
Matt,
keep
Matt.
Talking.
it was a while back.
Oh.
I had no caffeine that day. Yeah.
Yes.
You work too hard.
It's true, I do.
Or that he's just a lightweight pussy. You can't handle a couple beers. Yeah, that's what it is. But, hey, you know I'm going to call you out, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to happen at least one time during this show.
But,
I got one more story.
You got one more story?
One more story. You guys want one more?
And then the check engine light came on. Yeah. No.
It involves just a small world.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And this one's about a security guard again. Yeah, what's up with security guards?
They're always up late.
I know. But there's this
It's like your ways wrong. Well, that security guard sure do a lot of information.
So there's this security guard who's been working there for 20 years. And there was a family that arrived at Disney, and they were overdue in checking out of the Disney Resort Hotel. There were 3 days past checkout, so wow. the family was supposed to have checked out, and the security guard went into their room and saw that their luggage was still out, and the clothes were still in the furniture and all, mm-hmm. and there was no sign of the family. The possessions were still there. So the park has these wristbands for people who are there for multiple days, and it actually tracks which rides that they've gone. And so he goes to all the videos and tries to track where they've gone. He sees the family going in one ride, Big Adventure. He goes to the Star Tours and other rides, and they're tracking it like normal until they reach It's a Small World. So he watches the family enter It's a Small World, but mm-hmm. never exit.
Mm. Hotel California.
Right. So the guard's like, okay, well, I got to watch the footage and see what's going on. And it shows the family riding the ride. They're enjoying it. They're exiting the final tunnel of the ride. And they're all laughing and smiling. And then he watches it, but he watches the exit cameras, but they never left the boat. Mm-hmm. And then he watches the footage again. It's the same family in the same boat going through it the second time. And they were not laughing anymore. But they were like kind of smiling. It was kind of pleasant. Watching it longer, he sees the same family going, exiting the same exit tunnel in the boat. And they're like crying and being hysterical. It's like, okay, why aren't they leaving the boat? And then they're watching the family leaving the tunnel the fourth time. The mother's hysterical, the daughter's crying, the father is, you know, just passed out.
Yeah.
And then still they're not exiting the exit camera, so it looks like they were stuck in the boat, and the boat was continually looping, and the family is looking worse and worse and worse each time they're passing through that exit tunnel. And so the 11th or 12th time, who knows how many times that they've gone through the tunnel, like the family keeps disappearing one member after another. And the mystery was never solved since why they never left the ride. And I think that's a fictitious story.
I'm still creeped out.
Never have to go to Disney World after this again.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good, solid ending to
the
stories on a podcast for Halloween Horrors Month. And so we move on as we're moving forward towards the end of the year.
Next week, we're going to hear from Disney lawyers.
Disney lawyers. Cease and desist.
Yeah, we have $5. That's it. Yeah. But as we move towards the end of the year, we've got some pretty cool movies planned. And we rebooted the show with episode 81, so we're getting close to our 100th film, which will be episode 181 in January. We're not going to reveal what it is yet, but there will be some viral marketing on our website and our social media, Facebook and Twitter. But next week, we're going to get out of horror and do... we're going to stay in 2012, though. We just did Paranorman. We're going to talk Carl Urban's Dread that came out a few years ago. We can find our desires. Ooh, ooh.
brain feel as if time is passing at 1% its normal speed? Wicked
episode! If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
Peachtree is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peachtree?
Well, you got one now.
She has control of everything. Levels 1 to 200.
This is Mama. Somewhere in this block are two judges.
That's not good.
I want him dead.
We're gonna have to go through him. Rookie, you ready?
Yeah.
You look ready.
Fire!
Judgment time.
Let's finish this.
Mama's not the law. I'm the law.
Pretty cool movie, you know.
Remember it.
Yeah, it was. I didn't like it. You know, it's funny. I didn't like it when I first watched it. I just was real like harsh on it. Like it's like all this slow motion and fuck this. It's just a bunch of action. It doesn't even make any sense. And I love action movies. Then I watched it a second time and I liked it a lot more. I think I was just really unfairly harsh on it the first time I watched it, and I like it a lot now. I think I realize how good it is. I just the first time for some reason it didn't gel with me. But that's the movie we're going to do next week. We're going to talk Dread. Not the Stallone version, Matt.
Unfortunately.
The Carl Urban version that came out just a few years
ago. I like the great movie, Dread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be fun to talk about. And we hope
I am the law.
I'm the law.
And we hope you enjoyed Halloween Horrors Month. We enjoyed bringing it to you, talking some good films this month. The Monster Squad, 28 Days Later, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Army of Darkness, again, live at Misfit Toys. You can find that on our website. And we thank you again to Daniel for having us. And Paranorma today. So it was a fun month of horror movies for Halloween Horrors. And go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com where you can find all those episodes. And we're on all apps. Podbean, Apple.
Stitcher,
Google Play, Podcast Attic, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Dream Realm. Shit.
Are we on Dream Realm? Is Dream Realm out?
In the Dream Realm.
In the Dream Realm?
Yeah, you can dream about us. Whoa. Our sultry voices. I don't know.
Crazy.
But until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Dream Master.
And thank you, as always, for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just
go there and do it.
Stay safe while you're trick-or-treating.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, snooch to the nooch. Go there and do it.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?